Roho ya kweli ya uzima, anajaribu mwanadamu msamaha. Neema ya Yesu ya ajabu imetuweka huru. Neema ya Yesu ya ajabu imetuweka huru.
The little kids singing so well. Sign up your children for such activities. We remember I told you yesterday, this is where we make musicians, instrumentalists, great speakers.
Indeed, they are a blessing, and whenever I see children do this, I'm excited because as a child I wanted to become a pastor. I'm still on course. Now, we want to welcome you officially, for those who have just joined us, on our platforms in Tanzania, in Uganda, in Kenya, in Congo, all over the world. I'm aware we've been able to have people joining us on the YouTube platforms, and we welcome you. Keep with us, enjoy with us, and continue flowing with us for this exciting program.
And our call center numbers are up. They are currently running on your screens at 0729707071 or 0798014167. Call in for counseling, call in for prayers. Our prayer centers are also open. You can visit us physically for your prayers and counseling.
I also note that for those who had requested for the sign language interpreters, I'm sure they're now live and flowing with you. As an African, I got to know sign language through my mother. If they wanted to say, this and this ones are quoting, they will just say, and that is how I got to know sign language. Sign language is now with us, and we shall be able to flow. For now, we want to welcome the saints, followed by Kakamega Central for some exciting music, even as we continue.
Stay through the afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
njia ielekeayo mauti, mauti. Watu wengi wanafuata njia hiyo. Tena kuna yote nyembamba ya busara. Wanafuata njia hiyo. Tena kuna yote nyembamba ya busara. Ipasayo kwa watakatifu. Njia ya uzima. Njia ya wokovu. Tena ile nyembamba.
Excellent music, mwishowe tutafika. For those who didn't understand, just saying, at last we'll get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, you remember yesterday, I was imagining people from the U.S. saying, I come from the Minnesota, USA. And then somebody says, mimi nimetoka Tabaka. And we'll all be in heaven. We'll all be in heaven rejoicing and being happy.
Yeah, indeed. I can't, personally, I can't wait to get to heaven because of the music. Listen, just listen to the music all the way from Ingo. People of Kakamega, we see you, we hear you. This is so amazing. Thank you so much, Kakamega Central SDA Church Choir.
Indeed, we appreciate also sign language interpretation. I'm aware that there will still be a requirement to have them broadcasting online, so we'll be able to sort that one, and we appreciate the feedback. Keep it coming. We want to follow with you. We want to listen to you as we continue with our session.
Keep following our live on Hope Channel International, Hope Channel Africa, Hope Channel Kenya, Hope Channel Tanzania, Hope Channel Congo, and Hope Channel Jamaica. ECD Adventist YouTube channel is also broadcasting the translated languages in...
The languages are in Arabic, Amharic, Luganda, Rwandese. What was the other language? Kiswahili. You know, Kiswahili is a good language. Mtaka chamvunguni, sharti ainame. Sharti has to have an R, otherwise it will be a cloth. So we want to also appreciate you all for being with us, and we request that you continue giving us your feedback, even as we share on this session. For now, we want to welcome back Cornerstone for some music.
Shake it,
sijayaona.
Nikitambo tukidogo
hata yale hatujayafikia.
Nikitambo tukidogo thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. To be going home. This one, you have to be at practice to know. To be going home. And you know, when I knew Adventism, there is something to do with signs. We would fly. You know, there was a fly. I was excited to see. I was waiting for them to fly, but this one's are singing in English, so you can't fly in English. Anyway.
Thank you so much, dear viewer. I'm just standing beside a comedian. This one makes me laugh all the time. Thank you for those joining us. We are still live on our social platforms. Dear viewer, we have our call-in numbers running on your screen at 0729270701 or 0798014167. Call in for your prayers, call in for counseling. You can visit our prayer centers physically for prayers and for counseling. We are located at New Life Seventh-day Adventist Church, Fifth Ngong Avenue, Nairobi.
Indeed, it is a blessing to have you on board, and thank you for those who've been calling in. I was surprised yesterday, there were very serious critical cases that were calling in to just get some feedback and advice because they were at the last moments of their lives. This is powerful, this is special, keep calling in. And for those who love music, yes, it is not the end of music. We'll have another session of good music even as we flow. And much later, we'll have a children's corner just for the children to get and enjoy the program with us.
We are just gearing up for the health session, which will be taken by Mrs. Ernestine Finley. I loved yesterday's health session.
Yeah, I
learned about the American diet, the Western diet. And why we should take care, we should be so keen on the CCTV. I can't wait.
CCTV, they used to say, the car, the couch TV. Watch out and get more lessons even as we continue. Welcome.
Thank you once again. It's a great honor and privilege to introduce to you our speaker in this program of wellness, welcome to the Secret of Wellness. I am Pastor Otwera, or Lucas Otwera. It's my pleasure to bring to you today a very experienced speaker, and also she's a partner in this ministry with her husband, Pastor Mark Finley, who is our main speaker. I have the pleasure to inform you that she has been in this particular practice of training people on cooking and other things for the last 54 years, and God has used her mightily. And today I want to believe it is going to be a blessing to all of us as we listen to her, and also through listening we can get some tips on the wellness of our health. May the good Lord bless us as we wait for her. Thank you.
I want to invite you to a word of prayer before we begin our program. Let us pray. Eternal Father, King of the universe, we are standing before your throne of grace. We want to thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. We want to pray for the speaker who is coming to speak to us. We want to pray for those who are listening from far. We want to pray for those who are listening from near here. May you speak to us, Lord. Speak to our inner hearts, Lord. And may the message bring spiritual and physical healing to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are in Africa. And we are going to talk about a very important subject tonight, water. And so, welcome to Secrets to Wellness. You know, we had a very warm welcome here. And so I am so glad to be here in Kenya because people have been so kind and so wonderful to us. And so I want to give you a welcome to wellness. Now, last night we had a wonderful talk by Dr. Chidi, and I'm so privileged to be part of that team because I know you're going to learn so much as we have these health talks each night. So, welcome to our Secrets to Wellness. What are these secrets? Well, they're not going to be secrets very long because I know that you're going to be so excited about them that you're going to tell them to everyone. And so what is wellness? Wellness has to do, my friends, with the whole person. It includes the mental, it includes the emotional, it includes the physical, and yes, even the social, and of course, the spiritual. And all of these factors have to be in proper balance to really enjoy wellness. You see, God has principles for good health. He's given us 8 simple principles so that we can achieve better health. What are they, you say? Well, in a book called Ministry of Healing 127, it tells us about the true remedies. They are pure air and sunshine and abstemiousness. What is abstemiousness? It means abstaining from everything that is harmful and using wisely that which is good. And then there's rest, proper rest and exercise and proper diet and the use of water both on the inside and on the outside. And then trust in divine power. These are the true remedies, my friends. There are so many false remedies out there, so we want to know what the true remedies are. And these secrets to wellness I have printed in my book called Secrets to Wellness, and they are simply an acronym for wellness. They include everything so you can remember them easily. First is water. Are we getting adequate amounts of water on the inside and on the outside? And then there's exercise. Are we getting adequate exercise? And then love and trust in God. And lifestyle. Having a proper lifestyle which would actually reduce the risk of these chronic diseases that are so prevalent today. And then there's nutrition. That's my favorite one. My first health program was in 1969, and I didn't really know very much about health back then, but I've been learning over these last 53 years. And then there's environment in the air. And the trees, there's health-giving, life-giving properties in the trees, and sunshine and sleep. These are the true remedies. So tonight we're going to talk about the first one, which is water. You see, water is the beverage that's been designed for our health. In fact, water is the beverage that God has provided to quench our thirst. When you're thirsty, what do you want to drink? You want to drink water, don't you? Because water actually quenches our thirst. And water is a wonderful natural remedy. So, water is a powerful healing agent. Did you know that? Water is so important. It's a healing agent. And so, water brings healing to the body, whether it's internally or externally. So, if we're healthy or if we are sick, water is one of the Creator's greatest blessings. So we need water to help us stay healthy, but we also can use water if we're sick. Did you know that is one of God's natural remedies to nurse us back to health? So water is very important. It is a gift from God, my friend. God knows what's best for us, doesn't he? And so he's given us the gift of water. Well, why is water so important, you ask? Well, adults are 60% water by weight, and the brain is 85% water by weight, and actually the blood is 90% water by weight. So we are made up of a lot of water, and water is essential for its efficient circulation of the blood. And in order to have perfect health, we must have perfect circulation. So let's look at the healthful benefits of water. Scientific studies reveal the following benefits and many, many more. It improves digestion. So if you want better digestion, be sure to get adequate amounts of water. It actually can purify the blood, and it can enhance your circulation, and it eliminates those toxins. Every day we're taking in those toxins. We live in a world of sin, and this isn't the way God wanted it to be. But because of sin, we have all these toxins around us. We need to eliminate them. And actually, it increases our energy. You want more energy? Then maybe you are dehydrated or lacking water. So we want to be sure that we have lots of water. Well, drinking lots of water actually improves our memory. But we want to make sure that we're drinking pure, clean, uncontaminated water. And boiling our water is the safest way to kill all those germs that are contaminated in water. And this clicker is not working, so we might need another one, if someone could bring me one. And we have another clicker here. Well, my friends, maybe I need some water right now, right? Because you can drink water when you're under stress. And so we need adequate amounts of water. Yes, if we expect to function on just a little bit of water, it is like actually having to do dishes in one cup of water. We wouldn't get those dishes very clean, would we, if we could wash it in one cup of water. So how much water do we really need? Well, we get water from different sources, the water that we drink, and we get water from our food. We get water especially from the fruits that we have, and so we get water. So because we get water from some of the foods that we eat, we only need about 8 8-ounce glasses of water, or 2 liters every day. So that means we need at least 4 of these bottles of water every day. Well, we could survive on 4 to 5 maybe, but if we want to feel great, we need 7 to 8. We really need 8. Or 9 and 10, or 10, even if you're dehydrated and you need to be revitalized. So we need water every day. Now this could change if we live in a warm climate and we're sweating, we're perspiring, we may need more water. Or even if we are overweight or obese, we also may need water, more water. But you say, don't most people drink enough water? Well, the truth is that people don't drink water as much as they should. We are drinking other drinks, and so we have a lot of soft drinks that people are drinking, and we have a lot of alcohol and juices and other things besides water. And most people around the world are not drinking enough water. Many people around the world have inadequate amounts of water. And we can't really survive well when we have inadequate amounts of water. It changes our mental and impacts us negatively in both our mental and our health attitudes. Thank you. So people today drink more soft drinks and more coffee and more caffeine and alcohol than they do good, pure water. And all these other beverages are actually dehydrating and not hydrating. And let's look at the consumption of soft drinks. A staggering 90% of the world's population consumes caffeinated soft drinks. So that's 9 of 10 people all around the world are drinking caffeine soft drinks. But let's look at the kids' consumption of soft drinks. The kids with the highest consumption levels reported drinking about 20 ounces of soft drinks a day, equal to nearly 2 regular size cans of soft drinks. And I know in my country, in America, I have gone through the lines at the grocery store, and I see those grocery wagons filled with soft drinks just hanging over the edges of the wagons. So people are drinking a lot of soft drinks. But what about Kenya? Coca-Cola is Kenya's most popular soft drink company, and soft drinks are widely available. In fact, there's been a large growth in the soft drinks market in Kenya. And this last Friday, I was in the grocery store here, and I noticed that they had several shelves of soft drinks. So it's becoming more and more prominent here. So don't follow the American way, because the American way is not the best way, my friends. But what about soft drinks and other beverages? Does it matter really what I drink? They're all water, you say, aren't they? Well, no, the body uses water in all forms, but these beverages can actually pose many, many problems. So let's look at the real truth about soft drinks. Soft drinks, my friends, are detrimental to our health. So let's look at some of the health risks. Well, Harvard School of Public Health. Now, Harvard School of Medicine, Harvard School of Public Health, and Harvard University is the oldest medical school, the oldest university in the United States of America. It began in 1635. And a study, and so it's a very prestigious school, and a study of 40,000 men for 2 decades found that those who averaged just 1 can of a sugary beverage per day had a 20% higher risk of a heart attack. Why is heart disease the number one killer around the world? Well, and I'm seeing that cancer and heart disease are the top killers, even here in Kenya, after some of the other diseases like malaria and some of those diseases. And they found that you could actually increase your risk of a heart attack by 20%. And soft drinks contain large amounts of sugar. One 20-ounce bottle of soda may contain up to 36 cubes of sugar. That's a lot of sugar. And one large glass of soft drinks contains 8 teaspoons of sugar. And I checked it out here on the bottles on the shelf, and it was the same, 25.5 grams of sugar in one large bottle of soft drink here. And so sugar actually weakens the immune system. And if we want to be healthy and enjoy wellness, we need to have a strong immune system. Sugar reduces the ability to fight disease. So we don't have those white blood cells fighting the disease when we eat a lot of that sugar. Soft drinks break down the system and predispose our bodies to disease. And guess what? Also, soft drinks contain no nutrition. Yes, they contain plenty of empty calories. That means no nutrients, my friends. No vitamins, low in minerals, high empty calories, and high sugar. So we're down on the vitamins, we're down on the minerals, and we're up on the calories. And that's another reason that we have such an obesity epidemic around the world. And so we get unbalanced nutrition when we have all those soft drinks. Caffeinated soft drinks, high in sugar, and empty calories are really detrimental to our health. Water, my friend, that's the beverage that God gave us that we should drink, designed for our health. Water invigorates the whole system and brings health to our bodies. We need water on the inside to promote good health. But we ask, when should we drink the water? Are we drinking at the right time? Well, did you know that it's best to drink the water in between our meals and not with our meals? Why? Why is that so important? Because drinking with our meals delays the digestion. That water has to be all absorbed before the digestive processes begin. And the colder the water, then the longer it takes for the digestion to start. Because then the cold water needs to warm up to the room, to the body temperature, and then be absorbed. So it's best, my friends, to drink 30 minutes before our meal and 2 hours after a meal. And where's the best place to start? In the morning. Drink 2 glasses when you get up every morning. I did that this morning. Actually, I drank about 4 and then went for a walk and actually came back and drank some more. So I've already had, I only need just a little tiny bit to get my 8 ounces or 2 liters for today. So start in the morning. Drinking plenty of water helps promote wellness. Drinking pure, clean water helps eliminate our suffering. Water is a means of saving lives, my friends. And so God has designed us to drink water to our health. So let's look at some benefits of pure water. First of all, you can lose some weight. If you're having trouble with a weight problem, you may want to drink more water, especially in the evening, and maybe leave off that supper meal. And then it also can help reduce headaches and relieve fatigue. If you're feeling tired and no energy, then drink more water, and refreshes the skin. And actually can improve your memory. Do you want to have a better memory? Well, maybe you need to drink more water and improve your energy. And actually, science is finding that you can actually reduce some of these chronic diseases like cancer. And cancer is on the rise around the world. And even, yes, here in Kenya. And we can create a positive attitude also when we drink plenty of water and flush out those toxins. We need to get those toxins that we take in every day. We need to eliminate them. So our bodies need water on the inside and on the outside. So water actually can have treatments for healing advantages. In fact, water is a powerful healing agent. And many hydrotherapy treatments are so simple that you can do them at home on your own or with the help of a friend. And here I have my friend wrapped up in a blanket because she has a headache. And then I have her feet in hot water, put a cold cloth on the head, and the actual blood will draw from the head down to the feet, and you will actually get rid of the headache rather than covering it up with a pill. And so try some of these natural treatments, and then you can end with pouring some ice water over your feet, and you'll be so invigorated. And also, water builds the immune system by taking hot and cold showers. I did this morning, 2 to 3 minutes hot and 30 seconds cold, and I repeated that 3 times, and I felt so invigorated. Now, if some of you are watching where you say, I don't have a shower, maybe there are some places here in Africa where you don't have one, just fill 2 buckets of water, one with hot and one with cold, and take a dipper and pour that water over your head, and then pour it again with some hot water, not to burn yourself, but enough so that you can get that, get your body warmed up, and then dump that cold water, and it'll feel, really chilly at first, but you'll feel so invigorated. We need that cold as well. And then you'll be clean also. And cleanliness is so important. In fact, scrupulous cleanliness is essential to both physical and mental health. Impurities are constantly thrown off from the body through the skin, and its millions of pores are quickly clogged unless kept clean by frequent bathing. So what are some of the benefits of bathing every day and keeping our bodies clean? Well, it's going to improve that circulation. And what did I say? We need, for perfect health, we need perfect circulation. And it's going to soothe the nerves and give energy to the bowels and the stomach and the liver. And it's going to promote digestion and actually will help aid your rest so that you will even rest better at night. And so the importance of hygiene is so critical. Even a clean house and clean surroundings contribute to good health and proper attitudes. So God has given, my friends, us the gift of water. So drink water freely on the inside and bathe daily to cleanse the outside. So here's your prescription. Now, can I give you a simple natural prescription? All right, here it is. Drink 8 8-ounce glasses or 2 liters of water every day, and you will find you will feel so much better. And count the water, the amount of water you drink, and that's why it might be good to carry a water bottle with you. So 8 8-ounce glasses, and count how many did I have today? How many did I actually drink? So here are my teeny tips for you. I'm going to give you some little simple teeny tips. Well, one, drink at least those 8 8-ounce glasses or 2 liters every day. And stay hydrated. Make sure that you are not having those headaches or you are having, you feel like you're dehydrated. Make sure you're hydrated with pure water. The other drinks are dehydrating, not hydrating. And carry your water bottle with you so that everywhere you go, you have your water bottle so that you can drink it. And avoid those soft drinks that are so detrimental to our health. And caffeinated beverages. And avoid, my friends, all alcohol. And avoid drinking with your meals. Try to drink 30 minutes before your meals and 2 hours after. And your digestive processes will be so much better. And then try to avoid drinking ice cold beverages, because then the water again needs to warm up to the body temperature. And drink 2 8-ounce glasses of warm or even a little hot water in the morning when you get up before breakfast. And then wait that 30 minutes, but you can be walking, and then eat your breakfast. And then shower or bathe daily. Wash your hands with soap and water. We were told that so many times, right? During the the COVID pandemic. And so we want to be sure that we have our hands clean with soap and water. And then keep your home immaculately clean. That also promotes good health. And get extra fluids by eating water-rich foods. And those are the natural foods, especially fruit. It has so much water. So here are the remedies for health, my friends. These are the true remedies. And Revelation 22:17 says this, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." And Jesus says to the woman at the well, "I have a water that I'm going to give you where you'll never thirst again." And so we need Jesus, and we need Jesus' methods of health, and we need the natural remedies. So may God bless you as you choose God's way, because God's way, my friends, is always the best way.
Tupendo na milele. amani yoyoni mwetu tupe amani o yoyoni tulie
nipe furaha haya
kweli
nipe furaha
o tuwavute wengi
viewers from wherever you are watching us from. We want to take this time to welcome you to the talk of the family. The family is the smallest unit that God bestowed unto us, and it is between the male and female. We want to welcome you, and as we do so, we want to welcome the speaker of the hour, who is going to take us through the family life. Our speaker of today is Pastor David Mbaga from Tanzania, and is an experienced family life expert who will be sharing insights on how we can build strong families. I just beg you to stay tuned to this time as we try to build our families to meet our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father and the King of the universe, we come unto thy praises to worship, to thank you for the blessings of calling us your family. There is a time when Pharaoh was asking Moses, how many people are you going along with to worship God? We thank you, Lord, for the answer. He said he could go along with all their wives, all their children, all their animals, all what they were. We thank you that also we want you today, all as we are, that we might be saved today. Because you need all of us. Now your man servant is going to stand up, and we ask that thy Holy Ghost may lead him and guide him so that he may prepare your families for the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be thy name. As you bless those who are viewing the whole program from afar, and those who are with us. We thank you, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. It's another time we thank God for His mercy to be here this evening. As we know that family is everything. As I said last evening, if you want to corrupt a nation, you have to corrupt a family. If you want to strengthen a nation, you have to strengthen a family. Family is everything. No one here is not a product of a family. Even Jesus Christ Himself is a product of a family. We know that it's not God's plan for us to be divorced. God intended married people to stay forever. That's God's purpose. Unfortunately, when sin entered in this world, it destroyed everything. Sin is our enemy. I wish everybody could know that. It's not God's purpose for people who are married to be separated or divorced. It's not God's purpose. So if you think about this, rethink and think again. Can you go before God and pray and ask God, if God is your will for us to be divorced, show us the sign and maybe God will tell you, is not my plan. Sit down and make your things again. And I believe if you devote your time to pray, nothing difficult before God. Hallelujah. You remember I say that marriage is not man's idea. So if you find anything difficult in your marriage, go and ask God. Every one of us, if it's not all of us, we possess mobile phones. You have a television at home. You have a radio at home. You have anything which has to do with electronic. You remember when you buy electronic gadgets like telephone, like iPad, like television set. When you open the box, the first thing you see is manual book. Are we together? See it. Is maker's mind. Are we together? The word manual is maker's mind. So if you want to operate any device in a good way, you have to understand maker's mind. If you want to operate your marriage in a good way, you have to understand maker's mind. And who is our maker? Is God in heaven. So before you go to anybody, you have to ask God. And our manual book is the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a counselor. My first degree is theology. My second one is counseling psychology. But I believe if I read any psychology book, the final book is the Bible. When I read any good book, written by any professor, I read it and then I say, it has good materials. But my last question is, does this material align with the Word of God? The Word of God is the final. You see, nowadays people say, we have so-called 50-50. I don't know whether you have heard about this. 50-50. Men 50. Women 50. What does the Bible say? The Bible says we are the same. It's not 50-50, it's 100-100. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody should play his role. If you will know your role as a man, no conflict will happen. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, Good News Bible, it says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to live alone. If you have your own Bible, just cycle the word alone, because we'll be dealing with it later. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to live alone.
I will make suitable companion to help him. Some people confuse this word alone and the word loneliness. They think that God intended Mary to fill the gap of loneliness. I tell you this evening, marriage will never solve the loneliness problem. Marriage will solve aloneness problem. Hallelujah. May you shake the hand of your neighbor and say, are we together? So don't confuse these things. As I said last evening, that's why we experience a lot of divorce rate today, because people get into marriage without knowing the purpose of marriage. They think that marriage will solve the problem of loneliness. I said last evening that singleness is something to enjoy before marriage, because singleness is being you. There is no way you can enjoy being with another person if you don't enjoy to be you as you. We live a life of copying others. And God intended you to be you. There is no another person like you on earth except you. We don't even share the fingerprints. Fingerprint is my fingerprint. Hallelujah. And God will not even confuse later when somebody else comes to the world with the same fingerprint as me. God is very careful. You are the only one on earth. Get yourself before you get someone. Hallelujah. Get yourself. Understand yourself. Enjoy yourself. Know your talents. You is you and me is me. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I love, Pastor Ruguri, is me and him will enjoy ourselves. By the way, the science has proved that the shorter you become, the longer you live. That is science. If you will not accept yourself, no one will accept you. No one. You know, one of my clients as a counselor is a person who was used to be a gay. Used to be. Is no longer. And after several times, sessions of counseling, he decided to surrender his life to Jesus. Hallelujah. But now remember, he is working among people who knows him as a gay. And then one day he said, Pastor, when I'm walking in my office, when I look at people, most of them, when they look at me, I think they don't know that I am a changed person. And I cannot tell them always that I'm no longer gay. Then I said, what's wrong with you? He said, Pastor, they are looking at me. Then I told him, don't think what they think. Think what you think. Hallelujah. You are no longer a gay. So if they think that you are a gay, but you are not a gay, their thought will not change you, but your thought will change you. Their thought will never change you, but your thought will change you. In other words, think about what you think. Get yourself before you get someone. Accept yourself before you accept others. Learn to love yourself before you love someone else. Did you know that the life we live outwardly is the reflection of who we are inside? As I told you, you can pretend for some times, but you cannot pretend for a long time. You can pretend for some times, but you cannot pretend for a long time. So if you want to be a good person, clean yourself inside. Hallelujah. Learn to love yourself. When we talk about loving yourself, some people may think that pastor is talking about selfishness. No. Being smart is not selfishness. I have to love myself. Doctor is talking about the way we can keep our body in a good way. I have to love my body before I love somebody else's body. I have to know how to keep my body health before I teach somebody else. Even preachers, I believe the sermon that will not touch you will never touch another person. Learn to love yourself. So if somebody says, my husband does not love me, it's the sign that the particular husband does not love himself. You have to love yourself first. Learn to respect yourself before you respect another person. There is no way you can tell me that you respect others and you don't respect yourself. Learn to give before you get. Hallelujah. You have to learn to give. Love is a sacrifice. If you love, you have to give. Hallelujah. I will know how you love if I will see how you open your wallet. When there is love, giving is something to enjoy. No one will force you to give. I remember the first time when I was approaching my wife. The first time I remember, I visited Kenya for the first time and I saw something beautiful. Then she never asked me, but when I saw that, I said, wow, this is very good for my fiancé. So I went and I bought it. It's long time ago, but I remember last year, she showed me the gift is still there. Long time ago, one day it's a surprise. When we were in the room, then she said, you know what? I still remember the gift you gave me many years ago. Because the gift came out of love. When there is love, there is giving. How you open your wallet will tell me how you love her. Marriage will give you a companion, not a loneliness remover. The word alone is an adjective. Without other people. The Bible says, it's not good for a man to be alone. The Bible never said it's not good for a man to be lonely. You can be married, but lonely. So be careful. The word alone is without another human being. In other words, when those animals were passing by, Adam was there. You could see a lion, you could see a giraffe, you could see whatever animal, just mention all of them. But when they were walking two by two, Adam was only human being on earth. Then God said, but this is not good. This man must have another human being. The word man and the word woman are the same words. Oh, you say, pastor, no, they are different. No, they are not. Woman is a man with a prefix, womb man. is a human being with a womb. So, never think that women are under men. No, we are the same before God. Though we have different genders, but we are all human beings. Hallelujah. No one is better than the other. No one is more powerful than the other. By the way, if you want to talk about powers, then women are so powerful. If you want to talk about that one, they are so powerful. Let me tell you this. The pain they are going through during birth, no man can bear. No man can bear. Anyway, but God created them that way so that they can be good keepers of our children. Because the pain they get during keeping these children, raising them, the pain they're going through, you can't compare with the pain of during the birth. You can't compare. You can't compare. God created them that. Loneliness is an adjective. That means unhappy because you are not with other people. Loneliness. Alone is only of the same kind. You can use this when you talk about the same kind. So, marriage never intended by God to remove loneliness, but aloneness. Loneliness is a feeling of not accepting your uniqueness. Friends, you have to accept your uniqueness. When you are in marriage, you are combining two people of different genders. Are we together? Two people of different what? Genders. Because I know nowadays they say you can choose your gender later. That is a devilish thing. Don't even entertain it. Those are demonic doctrines. You know, sometimes I ask them, if you can marry a man, you are a man and then, let me use the word male. You are a male and then you want to marry a male. Will you produce a kid? Female and female? Don't you see that they want to stop production of human beings? So don't wait until you see people, they say now the devil is here with us. You will never see devil with horns. But some doctrine will tell you that these are from the devil. God intended female and male to live together in whole communion forever. Hallelujah. God will not choose a spouse for you. He will present to you. Hallelujah. That's why when you read the Bible, when God removed whatever you can call it, a rib, and then God created Eve, I don't see anywhere God says, Adam, you must marry this. But God presented. And then Adam said, behold, this is flesh. Hallelujah. This is part of me. This is another me. This is my fellow human being. If you want to know this, sometimes when I talk to young people about marriage, they say, Pastor, I want to pray until God shows me the right person. God will present to you and you are the one to choose. I don't know, and I will not judge you when it comes to faith, but I see people, they can grow maize. Young people grow maize. They have three vessels with three names of ladies. And then they grow maize there. They water. And then they say, Father in heaven, if Rachel is the one. And then in the morning, or after 3 days or four, you come and see those vessels. You see the second one, the maize is grown, health, very good one. Then you say, the Lord has shown me that Rachel is the one. And then you say, why are you saying this? Because I had three vessels, and all of them I put three mazes there. And then the third one, or the second one, grew health and everything was okay. And I believe it is the sign from God. I just want to warn you. You are not doing agriculture experiments here. Marriage is a holy thing. It needs God's wisdom, not agriculture experiment. Ellen White says, if you pray two times a day, when it comes to choose a spouse, you have to pray four times. Why are we praying during this period? We pray because we need God's wisdom. We need God's understanding. And I do tell young people that we have to fast. And fasting does not make God be close to you than ever before, but fasting will clean your mind so that you can hear God clearly. Because God can speak to you, but if your mind is full of social media things, you will never even understand that God is talking to me. Because social media is full of information. We are using them to preach the gospel, but the devil is using the same method to control our minds. So, when you pray, sometimes you have to fast so that your mind can be clear to receive from God. Social media will tell you, if you want to get a very good woman, you must see these characters. Outward appearance, body and everything, you know what I'm talking about. Especially when you come to Africa, they have so-called... That is social media. And I'm afraid sometimes when I read those short video clips, they post them, and they say, if you want to know a good man, as I said here, but with precautions, a good man or good husband is the one with a lot of money. That's what social media says. But I'm telling you, there are some people with a lot of money, but they don't enjoy marriage. Money will not make you happy if God is not in it. Little is much when God is in it. Hallelujah. You remember the song? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for there is crown and you shall weary if you Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We want our young people to know that in Jesus there is solution. We want our young people to go back to the manual book, and that is the Bible. If you want to marry, you have to go to the Bible first and see what was the purpose of marriage. What was in God's mind? What is God's idea when God created these two couples? What was in God's mind? You have to understand that. You remember in Genesis chapter 29 verse 17, I'll read from Amplified Bible. The Bible says, Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. And almost every young man, when you ask them, what are you looking for? They will tell you, Pastor, I am looking for a beauty in form and appearance. But I'm telling you, when you get into it, after some times, you will discover that the guilt does not make the marriage to live forever. No! No! It will never sustain it. Because one day this beauty you see will perish. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you as a hired workman for 7 years in return for the privilege of marrying Rachel, your younger daughter. No, no, you see, when you begin so-called courtship, it depends how you can put it. There is a hormone that is guiding you. You are not guided by your own perspective as a human being who can see things and decide good and bad. But you are led by a hormone. That's why you can chat overnight without getting tired. They're just chatting, midnight chatting. But when you tell them, can you wake up midnight and pray and read some Bible verses? Just after reading one verse, the second one, the third one, the fourth one. But when you chat with Rachel, you can chat overnight. The hormone is controlling you. And when you get married, you are into it. The body automatically will regulate the hormone. So it will switch off the hormone. And then the other hormone is coming up. That's when you will begin to see things you never saw during courtship. Because during courtship, when this hormone is high, your eyes will not see some things. So even your parents will tell you, but this boy, when we look at him, we think maybe it's not for you. I say, Mom, don't say that. Why? He's a man of God. And then your mom will ask you, why are you saying that? He carries Bible always. Ladies, naturally men are hunters. When they hunt, they are so careful with the prey. They know where it is. They know how to keep quiet. You know, when you are hunting, Pastor Mark Finley, Africans were hunters. So when you see something there, you have to keep quiet. Don't shake. Don't shout. Because if you shake your board and you shout and the antelope sees you, it will run away. So you keep quiet. And even you watch the way you breathe. Don't be fooled. All boys are hunters. When he looks at you and he discovers that you are a very spiritual girl, you love the church, you love singing, then a hunter will pretend to be a spiritual person. He will come with the Bible, not only by Bibles, King James Version, NLT, Amplified Bible, Patriarchs and Prophets, Desire of Ages. And because he's a hunter, he will make sure that he sits where you will see him. So he sits down in the church and then he will pray before anything. Just watch me. Even a walking style is a holy one. Remember, he knows where you sit always. A hunter. He can pray before anything. That does not mean he's a spiritual person, but he's a hunter. After that, when a preacher is preaching, he will even shout, "Hallelujah!" But when you get out, just ask him, "What was the preacher saying?" And then he will tell you, "Today the preacher preached well." And I think that sermon was for me. Because he's a hunter. When he gets you, after a few months, the real person is coming out. That's when you say, "Lord, I prayed and I even fasted." But the angel will ask you, "When you was praying, how did you pray?" Because there are two types of prayers when you pray. One is this way. You pray this way, with no one in front of you. Or you prayed this way. One eye closed and the other one is opened. So when you prayed, you say this: "God, you know I love him. Give me this person." I remember one lady was asking, "Pastor, do you believe that God can do anything?" I said, "Yes." "Do you believe that God can change anything?" I said, "Yes." "Do you believe, Pastor, that when we pray, God will give me this boy?" I said, "No." Because you want to command God. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you as a hired workman for 7 years. Before we conclude, anything good needs effort. Take time. Take time with a person. Don't rush. If a person is rushing you to marriage, in quote, rushing you, that is a red light. Be careful." Let's stand for the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we need your wisdom. We need your understanding. Father, for a long time we have been depending on our own knowledge. But this evening, you are telling us, go back to the manual book. That is the Bible. I'm praying for anyone this evening who is longing for marriage. May you give that person wisdom to discern and understand, so that she or he may not get into fire. Father, give them wisdom, because your idea is marriage to be a paradise. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mbaga, for such amazing session of family life. Dear viewer, this is a reminder to you that our call center is up and running from 8 a.m. all the way up to 7 p.m. with calls being taken at the top of every new hour. You can visit our call center at the second floor of the Story Building at New Life Seventh Day Adventist Church, Fifth Ngong Avenue, Nairobi.
Indeed, you will have the opportunity to also present your prayer requests, And in case you physically need to visit the prayer band, that is the second floor, you will be able to meet them and have your prayer requests attended to. Every hour we have a new session of prayers, and they are being taken just to ensure that you have an enriched session. Now, I want to give a special mention to the following churches that have set up stations just to ensure that you have this experience. Lovington SDA Church, Wachara Church in Kenya Lake, Chemondi SDA Church, Kiptii SDA Church, Mfangano Central, Malawi, United States of America in Michigan, Kilifi, Kenya, Kampala, Uganda, Juba, South Sudan, Isebania, Bayete in Eldoret, Baraton University, Zanzibar, Kisumu, Mabera, Maine, and Korea, Kenya.
And this is a call to the various churches all around the globe. Please set up centers in your churches, all around the churches, and welcome as many people as you can to join us live for the Hope for Africa event. You can also share your videos and photos of your centers to us through your pastors.
We want to also appreciate feedback coming from you. I am actually at the Hope Channel Kenya YouTube channel. I can see we have 1,000 viewers following at the moment, and I'll pick quick comments just in random. I can see someone, Ayuen Mabior from South Sudan. We want to appreciate you. I can see Hematon from Bungoma. We want to say, watching from Bungoma, thank you so much. Muira watching from Nyeri, thank you so much. Oh, there is someone saying, watching from Nyanturago, thank you very much. We have someone watching from Tongaren. Tongaren is where there is some fame in Kenya. You will get to know about it. East Africa Baraton, thank you. Some from Yambio, South Sudan. And so many of you watching and giving your feedback, we want to appreciate.
And now getting into our music session, we have Cornerstone SDA coming up for one item.
As they come over, get to enjoy, give your feedback, and let us flow with them.
Thank you. tanga mbali nawe.
Haleluya Bwana we ni mwema. Bwana tatua yonesha Bwana.
Pasa mali ya dunia, aleti upendo. Kamtoa mwana wake wa peke,
ili yeyote amwaminie awe na uzima wa milele.
Macho yako Mungu huona duniani kote, hatua zetu salama nawe. Hauchoki nasi Mungu, tujapotanga mbali nawe. Watufuata kwa upole, tugeukapo upopane. Jamani tunaanguka, tunavunjika, lakini Mungu ni nani atusimamisha tena? Tumepona, tuna nguvu, tuwashindi. Mungu atukuzwe. Jamani tunaanguka, tunavunjika, lakini Mungu ni nani atusimamisha tena? Tumepona, tuna nguvu, tuwashindi. Mungu atukuzwe.
chochote kitakacho kuja umenifunza. Japo ninaanguka, ninavunjika, lakini Mungu ni nani alisimamisha tena. Nimepona, nina nguvu, ni mshindi. Mungu atukuzwe. Japo ninaanguka, ninavunjika, lakini Mungu ni nani alisimamisha tena. Nimepona, nina nguvu, ni mshindi. Mungu atukuzwe. Wakati siwezi simama tena, ninapohitaji nguvu mpya, ninapotafuta kote ulipo, masaibu yanisongapo, asema tuanguke kwenye mwamba, atushike kwa mkono wa kuume, tuwe wateule wako Bwana, utakutusimamisha. Wakati siwezi simama tena, ninapohitaji nguvu mpya, ninapotafuta kote ulipo, masaibu yanisongapo, asema tuanguke kwenye mwamba, atushike kwa mkono wa kuume, tuwe wateule wako Bwana, uja kutusimamisha. Jamani, tunaanguka, tunavunjika, lakini Mungu ni nani atusimamisha tena. Tumepona, tuna nguvu, tuwashindi, Mungu atukuzwe. Jamani, tunaanguka, tunavunjika, lakini Mungu ni nani atusimamisha tena. Tumepona, tuna nguvu, tuwashindi, Mungu atukuzwe. Jamani, tunaanguka, tunavunjika, lakini Mungu ni nani atusimamisha tena. Tumepona, tuna nguvu, tuwashindi, Mungu atukuzwe.
Mkombozi wangu Yesu, nitegee niliomba, toa shaka kwangu Bwana, na kuomba uniongoze. Mkombozi wangu Yesu, nitegee niliomba, toa shaka kwangu Bwana, na kuomba uniongoze. Salamu ninatoa kwako, unyenyekevu Bwana, najisalimisha.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we have come to the moment where we desire to hear God from you. Lord, we have been seeking you all of our lives, but Lord, the truth is, you have been seeking us first. You're the one who crafted us in the womb. You have guided us. You have blessed us. Lord, you have been calling us. And tonight we stand before you, Lord, with hearts that are longing for hope. Hope for our families. Hope for our children and our marriages. Hope for our communities. Hope for our nations. Now, Heavenly Father, we are asking that you will provide to us not the words of any man, but words from you yourself. God, we need hope. Hope from heaven. Lord, hope for Africa. Now, Heavenly Father, we are praying that your servant, Pastor Mark Finley, would be given your words, that the Holy Spirit would guide him and bless him and give him wisdom. But Lord, not only him, we're praying that each person that is listening, wherever they're listening, however they're listening, that they would know that this is the moment that you have been waiting for to speak to them, to bless them. Lord, there are people right now who are wondering, Lord, where is hope for my children? God, where is the hope, God, for my marriage? God, where is the hope for my community? God, where is the hope? We see all of these stories, but God, where is hope for Africa? Well, Heavenly Father, we know that many, many years ago, Jesus came to give us his life, that we might have hope. Now, Heavenly Father, we know that Jesus is soon to return, not to die on the cross, but to give us life eternally. Jesus is the hope. And God, tonight, this may be the most important message that any of us have ever heard in our lives. God, there is hope because Jesus is soon to return. Heavenly Father, help us to understand how near that return is. There are billions of people around the world tonight who want to know, when will Jesus return? When will God come to rescue this earth? When will God come to save me? Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, you will speak. Today, you will speak to millions of people. Let them know that not only is there hope for Africa, that there is hope for them. God, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Yes, there is hope for Africa. Ladies and gentlemen all around the world, it's my humble privilege to introduce to you our speaker of the time. I'm truly humbled to be called to introduce this man of God, because in this country, some of us have been preaching for the last 40 years and we thought that was a long time. But I'm bringing to you the man of God whom the Lord has used for 56 years of proclaiming hope to the world. Pastor Mark Finley serves as an assistant to the president of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church with headquarters in the USA. As an assistant to the president, he continues to work with evangelism and television as his primary portfolio. Pastor Finley and his wife, Ernestine, better known as Chini, and if you see her, you'll know why she deserves that name, have teamed up in ministry throughout the years. Tini is known worldwide for teaching natural lifestyle cooking. She taught about water today, and I'm glad to report to her that I've completed 3 glasses since you started preaching. I'm going to be converted to follow you. Together they have been involved in Christian ministry for over 40 years, preaching, teaching, and offering spiritual growth workshops and conducting over 100 evangelistic series that have spanned the globe with sermons translated into over 50 languages. Today, Pastor Finley and Tini
continue their ministry at the Living Hope School of Evangelism in Haymarket, Virginia. From this location, Pastor Finley and Tini continue from a central place in the ministry they have conducted in over 100 countries worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, each night is going to be different, so I strongly urge you not to miss even a single presentation. Best of all, I want to request you to invite a friend or send a link to a friend to be blessed together with you. Join me now in welcoming Pastor Finley to speak to us. God bless you.
What a joy it is to be with you here in Kenya. You know, my wife is quite slim. She exercises regularly, runs marathons, and people ask me, what do you do when your wife is running marathons? And my answer is that everybody needs a coach. So I'm the coach of my wife as she runs marathons. But you know, there's one problem I think I'm going to have when I leave Kenya. You are feeding me so well that I may gain another 10 pounds and have to join my wife in some of that marathon walking that I will do. You know, these messages are being transmitted in three languages. The language of Luganda for our brothers and sisters in Uganda. We have over 500,000 members in Uganda. Let's greet Uganda tonight. You want to greet Uganda? Uganda, we're so glad you're watching. And of course, 1.2 million members at least, we are still counting in Rwanda, in the Kiryuwandan language. And here in Burundi, 200,000 members there in the Kiryuwandi language. You know, you're going to have to forgive this American pronunciation. It's going to get worse when I pronounce the different cities. You will see shortly. We are transmitting in Arabic and in French and in Amharic for Ethiopia and in Swahili, of course. Now, I've been getting some reports. One of the joys that I have each night is to talk to our social media people. If you want some thrilling reports, let me give you some reports of what God did yesterday in Kakamega, in the West Kenya Conference. You remember tonight we saw the choir dressed in their choir robes. Well, they come from Kakamega, about 7 hours from here. Yesterday, they baptized 59 souls in the Kakamega Central Church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then let's go to now, the Kanyao. 18 souls from the North Rift Valley. Way up in the North Rift Valley. 18 souls. Sometimes they have to climb down narrow trail, go into a little river, but 18 souls there. In Niroche, 30 souls in southwest, whatever it is, Nanza. Southwest Nanza? N-Y-A-N-Z. Nyanza. Yeah, I knew I could say it right if I practiced well enough. And then, this one is a real beauty. Okerewe. How was that? Okerewe. Way up in the highlands of Tanzania. 40 souls yesterday they baptized. Somebody say hallelujah for Jesus. If you are having baptisms, every day we're having baptisms. Not only every Sabbath, but every day baptisms for Jesus. During Hope for Africa, many of our evangelists have been preaching to prepare candidates. We've been having camp meetings that have prepared candidates. Thousands have been baptized already. Every day we're having baptisms. Looking forward to baptisms, mega baptisms on our Sabbaths. God is doing something unique, something special for Africa. Tonight, we talk about God's or Revelation's greatest enzyme sign. So let's pray as we open the Word of God. Father in heaven, as we open your Word, we're thankful for what you are doing throughout Africa. We're thankful for the Spirit of God, how it is being poured out on this continent, and particularly in the East Central Africa Division. we sense that God is doing something special, that these are unique times in the history of our world. This is no time to delay our decision for Christ. This is the time to make eternal decisions for the kingdom of God. So may this meeting tonight lead men and women and boys and girls around Africa and around the world to decisions for Jesus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All around the world tonight, men and women are perplexed. They look at the scene of this earth's history. They see rising crime and violence. They see famine, earthquake, fire, flood. They see wars and turmoil. And men and women are asking the question, what does the future hold? How can I face the future with confidence? Is there any hope on the horizon? The book of Revelation clearly outlines God's plans for the future. In fact, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "Behold, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those that pierced him. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Even so, amen." The Bible says, every eye shall see him. Kenyan eyes shall see him come. Burundian eyes shall see him come. The Democratic Congolese eyes shall see him come. Tanzania's eyes shall see him come. Nigerian eyes shall see him come. The Bible says, every eye shall see him. Rwandan eyes shall see him come. Christ's coming is not some secret event. It is a glorious event. As lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The book of Revelation begins in the first chapter with a statement about the coming of Christ. And the book of Revelation ends with these words, Revelation 22, verse 20. "He who testifies these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Isn't that the prayer of your heart tonight? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're weary of the pain and the suffering of our world. There is hope for Africa, not because of human solutions, but because of a divine solution. The Bible talks about the second coming of Christ as the blessed hope of humanity. It is. If death were a dark hole in the ground, and if the grave was a long night without a morning, there would be little hope. But because Jesus went into the grave and came out, the grave becomes a tunnel with a bright light at the end of the coming of Jesus Christ. And so there is hope for the world. There is hope for Africa. Because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, he conquered death. And because he conquered death, we can be conquerors too. Jesus will come. The dead in Christ will rise. The living will receive new, glorious, immortal bodies. But Revelation ends with Jesus saying, "Behold, I come quickly." How quickly is quickly? How soon is soon? Are there signs in the world today that indicate to us that Jesus Christ is coming soon? In the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus outlines the signs of his return. Seated on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the Kidron Valley, looking at the Golden Dome Temple at Jerusalem, Jesus said to his disciples that not one stone is going to be left upon another, that the temple at Jerusalem would be destroyed. The disciples thought an event as cataclysmic, as destructive as the temple being destroyed, that must be the end of the world. So the disciples came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?" Now we can have confidence in Jesus. And Jesus lists some 20 signs of his coming in Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus answers the question of the disciples, "What shall be the sign of your coming in the end of the world?" The signs that Jesus gave then led up to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. They were miniature signs. But those signs that were miniature signs that would lead up to the destruction of Jerusalem, those signs would be on a universal worldwide scale just before the coming of Jesus. Now, the signs in Matthew 24 have always been present in the world. So there's nothing unique about those signs. So you say to me, Pastor Mark, if those signs have always been present in the world, how could they be signs just before the end? In two ways. First, these signs that have been present in miniature around the world would be magnified just before the time of the end. Secondly, where you've seen one sign here and one sign there throughout history, in the last generation before Jesus comes, not only would these signs be magnified, but you would see them on a global, international scale, all of these signs at the same time around the world. So when we see all the signs around the world on a global scale, we can know that we're living on the edge of eternity. So what were these signs of Christ's return? Jesus gave signs in the world of religion. He gave signs in the world of politics. He gave signs in the world of nature. He gave signs in the world of society. Let's look at those signs tonight. And let's ask ourselves the question, are these signs that Jesus gave, are they taking place all around us in our world today? Let's first look at signs in the world of religion. What did Jesus say about signs in the world of religion? He said false Christs and false prophets would arise. Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 24th verse, Jesus said, "For there'll be false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders." Because some supposed religious leader works a sign or wonder as a miracle, is that evidence that that so-called religious leader is a man or woman of God? Is that evidence? The Bible says false Christs and false prophets would show signs and wonders. So any so-called religious leader that leads from the Word of God and apparently works some sign or wonder, some miracle, that's not necessarily an indication that they indeed are from God. I want you to think about it this way. Some time ago, one of our magazines that was then called Signs of These Times, but now it's called Signs of the Times, studied all of the predictions of the psychics. You know, the psychics make these predictions, and they took 250 predictions of the psychics. And this is what they found. Less than 3% they could list as reasonably be fulfilled. 97%, 244 missed the mark totally. So if you are looking to the psychics, the fortune tellers, if you're looking toward witch doctors, you are going to be tragically disappointed. Jesus said there'll be false Christs and false prophets. Do you know that in our world there are about, in the newspapers, there are about 3,000 astrology columns? What's astrology? People looking up at the stars and whether they are a Leo lion or so forth, what's their astrological sign? 3,000 astrology columns growing around the world. False Christ, false prophets, false ideology. Some people turning to tarot cards, fortune tellers, false Christ, false prophets. Now here's an amazing thing. Oh, I thank God that Kenya is saved from this one. There's a rage in Hollywood right now, in California, you know, with spirit guides. And they have three famous spirit guides. They're called Mafu, Ramtha, and Lazarus. And do you know what? You can actually, Lazarus has a 2-year waiting period for private consultations. He'll counsel you for $93 an hour and tell you the future, or $53 for a half an hour. I'm glad that Kenyans and Africans are too wise to spend their money on that foolishness. But the Bible says, false Christ and false prophets. Witchcraft, communication with the dead, spell casting, afterlife realities, and other occult themes are growing. And our children, some of them, are being taken in. Do you know that video games are implanting subliminal or secret messages to draw your children to the occult world so they can be deceived by these false Christs and false prophets. And the video producers, many of them, are embedding symbols that are captivating youth. Have you noticed the movies with the occult theme, the video games with the occult theme, spiritualistic theme? It is to draw our children away from the Bible, to capture their minds so they will not have the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You talk about false Christs and false prophets. You know, I was holding meetings in Moscow's Olympic Stadium. Every night we had 18,000 people coming. Well, the first night, because we had baptized so many people in Moscow, the first night, ladies got up out of the chairs and they were bringing bouquets of flowers. We had so many bouquets, the ushers were taking them. Well, a lady walked down the aisle with what I thought was a bouquet of flowers. I should have looked more closely. They were wilted. And I went to take the bouquet of flowers. She grabbed, and immediately when I did, I knew something was wrong. She grabbed the microphone out of my hand. She said, "This man is the Antichrist. Attack him now." Who was the woman? Mary David Christ. She was one of the leading cult leaders in Moscow. Mary, because she believed she was the mother of the new Christ. David, because she believed that the child she was bearing would be the new king of the earth. She had 22,000 followers. They believed they were the good angels cast out of heaven to fight evil, and they believed I was the Antichrist. When she said attack, these young men jumped up out of their seats and ran to the stage to attack me. There must have been 15 of them coming. You know, I'm old, but I can still move quick. And these 15 men came to attack. Now, I had baptized many Russian army soldiers, and they did not forget their skills. Praise the Lord. When these young men were coming to attack, they tackled them, and they got them. Do you know what? The first 12 nights of my meeting, I was attacked by these cult people. We had to build the stage way up. Sometimes we were going to have our baptisms. They broke glass and put it in the baptismal pool so people would cut their feet. We had to go examine the baptismal pool. They burned down our signs. But thank God we baptized in Moscow in 3 years, 3,000 people, and started 12 new churches because Jesus Christ is greater than any of the cult leaders. You know, but cults are spreading all around the world. You know, you take Uganda, that with Joseph Kabitwi's cult, where many died. And I was just noticing, too. Not only in America did we have Jim Jones with his cult of death. Not only did we have David Koresh down there in Waco, but all over the world. Just what happened here in Kenya in April of 23rd of this year, when the authorities began to discover a grave. And they looked there in that grave and they found this cult leader. What was the name of that? McKinsey. I know his name, but that place, Shakola, yeah. Shakola, yeah. Oh, Shakahola, like Coca-Cola, but Shakahola. I got it now. Yeah, Shakahola. Yeah, 400, the latest report, people dead because they followed a cult leader. The Word of God is our only safety. What do you say, church? Amen. The Word of God is our only safety. Cult leaders around the world, beware of any religious teacher that leads you from the Bible. Jesus said one of the signs of the end, false Christs and false prophets. The Bible said there would be signs not only in the world of religion, but in the world of politics. He said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Now, somebody says, but Pastor Mark, there always have been wars. There have. But notice Jesus didn't say there would be a war. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. Nation would rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. In other words, there would be global wars. May I remind you that in the 20th century we had World War I, followed by World War II. And you think of the places around the world today that are in conflict or war. Jesus predicted just before the end there would be international conflicts on a global scale. In the 20th century, there were 165 wars that killed 6,000 people or more each. Five of these wars claimed more than 6 million victims. In the 20th century alone, there are 180 million deaths from war. Now you think of the 21st century, and you think of the wars. You got the Second Congo War, the war on terrorism, the Darfur conflict, the Israeli-Lebanese conflict, the Russian-Georgia conflict. And you go down the list. You got the Ukraine war that's going now. You got conflict in Sudan, conflict in Somalia. You look around whether you're looking at the Middle East, whether you're looking at Europe, whether you're looking at the Asia or Africa, there is an instability in our world. Nations unstable, bordering on conflict, bordering on war. You have China that's become an amazingly powerful empire. You've got Russia, you've got the United States, and you have the conflicts between them taking place. Fragile peace agreements. The Bible predicted that not only would there be war, but there'd be peace agreements that would be fragile. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them and they shall not escape. Notice those words, peace and safety. Another translation for safety is security. What is the longing of every heart? The longing of every heart is a society that is filled with peace and a society that is secure. We want peace and security. As Christians, we pray for our leaders. We thank God for leaders that long to achieve peace, that don't want to expand their territorial boundaries simply for the sake of enriching themselves. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our governments. I'm thankful to God for the government of Kenya today that is longing for peace. As Christians, we pray for every government in the world, but we recognize too that the only permanent peace that will come to this world is that when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, returns. We know that the only permanent lasting peace... Now notice, they'll be saying peace and safety. You think of after World War I, you have the Treaty of Versailles, where they established the League of Nations, and they said World War I is the war to end all wars, never going to have another war. But then you have World War II, and so what do they do? The establishment of the United Nations. And the idea was if the United Nations are all united, established in 1945, we'd never have another major war. And you think of the places just in Africa where you have United Nations troops trying to create peace. You look at from 1945 to now, although we are doing our best efforts to achieve peace, we have war and conflict around the world. This is the first time in history. You say, Pastor Mark, what's new? Is there any prophecy in Revelation that could not have been fulfilled 50 years ago, 100 years ago? For the first time in history, the human race has the capacity to destroy itself. First time in history. The book of Revelation tells you that Jesus is going to come at a time when the planet is facing self-destruction. Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. The nations were angry. Your wrath has come. In the time of the dead, that they should be judged. When's that? When Jesus Christ comes, right? That they should be judged and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints. And you should destroy those that destroy the earth. Notice, the Bible says that Christ will come at a time when the human race, there it is in Revelation 11, 18, has the capacity to destroy the earth. Never before in history have we had the capacity to destroy ourselves. We have nuclear weapons today. Nuclear weapons have, according to scientists, have the capacity to destroy life on planet Earth. Dr. Charles Urey, an atomic scientist, after the dropping of the atomic bomb said this. He said, I write this to frighten you. All scientists I know are frightened. Frightened for their lives and frightened for your life. We have a new phenomena of destroying the earth today, and that is the pollution that's being put in our atmosphere, that's destroying our pure air, our pure water, as we look around the world tonight, we see the fulfillment of Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, with the expectation of those things that are coming upon the earth. Men's hearts failing for fear. If we look where they look, we will fear their fear. But Jesus says, when these things begin to come to pass, look up. Look where, everybody? Look where? We are not looking where they look. We are looking where? Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. The powers of heaven will be shaken. We look up because we sense Jesus is coming. We look up because we sense the signs of the times are being fulfilled. Now the Bible says there'll be signs in the world of nature. There'll be famines. Famines. Haven't we always had famines? Jesus said there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes among the nations. Famines are not getting less, but they are increasing. Every child that cries out for food with distended bellies cries out, "Oh Jesus, come quickly." The United Nations reported a food shortage, famines, 38 countries in the world. 1/6 of every person living on planet Earth goes to bed hungry every night. 10,000 people a day, 3.5 million every year, die of starvation. The signs of the times, my brothers, my sisters, are all around us. Soon, Jesus will come. The Bible says there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. What is a pestilence? A pestilence is a strange disease that can affect human beings, it can affect crops, or it can affect environment. Think of some of these diseases that have taken thousands of lives recently. Think of COVID-19, a strange disease. Think of AIDS that is sweeping the continent. Think of the pestilences that are increasing. The World Health Organization said this: every year, more than 1 billion, not 1 million, 1 billion cases and over 1 million deaths from these pestilences like malaria, Danang disease, schistosomiasis, human African diseases, and worldwide diseases. What Jesus said, false Christs and false prophets, do we see them today? Do we see them? Do we see today signs of nations rising against nations, wars and rumors of wars? Do we see nuclear weaponry that can destroy life on planet Earth? Do we see famines and pestilences around the world? You know, a group of scientists met together and they wrote what was called the Warning to Humanity. And they said this: no more than one or a few decades remain before the chance to avert the new threat we now confront will be lost and the prospects of humanity immeasurably diminished. Even scientists are saying the way this world is going is self-destruct. But Jesus will step in. He is hope for Africa. He is hope for the world. The Bible says there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes around the world. Earthquakes have dramatically increased in the last few years. It's estimated that the world currently experiences 50 earthquakes a day or 20,000 earthquakes a year. Since the turn of the century, it's estimated that there have been over 800,000 deaths for earthquakes. Now, if you look at these signs, it's not that there's one sign. We've always had earthquakes. But there, something is really going on. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. And around the world today, it's not one sign. But you put these signs together like pieces in a jigsaw puzzle, and you see that Jesus is on his way. The Bible says there'll be earthquakes, famines, pestilences in different places. There will be fearful sights and great signs from the heavens. Fearful sights, upheavals in nature. You see hurricanes typhoons, floods, sweeping away whole cities. Natural disasters are a sign of the coming of Jesus. And then what about signs in the world of society? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah came, and the flood came, and Noah entered the ark, and they were all destroyed, except those that entered the ark. Now I want you to think about this. It says they were eating and drinking. Is there anything wrong with eating and drinking? Nothing at all. But this is speaking about gorging yourself, eating and drinking to excess, marrying and giving in marriage. It's speaking about the fact that before Jesus comes again, the fabric of society will be falling apart. I'm so thankful for Brother David's lectures on the area of the family. Jesus wants our families to be preserved and saved before the coming of Jesus. What do you say? Thankful for our lectures by my wife, Miss Tini, and Dr. Chitty, that are helping us to know how to eat properly to get ready for the coming of Jesus. But there's another aspect of this. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Does the average person walking down the street in Nairobi have the idea that the signs of the times are being fulfilled and Jesus is coming soon? Not at all. The average person is thinking about survival. And what this prophecy is saying, at a time when people are going about life as normal, at a time when people are going about life as usual, at that period of time, Jesus will say, ladies and gentlemen, it's closing time. The sands in the hourglass of time are run out. Soon time will fade into eternity. We live at a time of the breakup of the family unit. We live at a time when things that we consider immoral are being accepted as morality today. You look at the LGBTQ movement today, trying to get society to accept something that the Bible speaks about as sin. You look at the rising divorce rates today among people that are married, leaving husband, leaving wife for immoral relationships with others. You look at young people living in sexual relationships outside of marriage. Immorality is on the rise as it was in the days of Noah. Family units falling apart. And the appeal of Noah was that the world will be destroyed by water. Our appeal today is the world will be destroyed by fire. And it is time, my brother, my sister, wherever you are tonight, whether you're in Burundi tonight, whether you're in Tanzania tonight, whether you're in Kenya tonight, whether you're in Ethiopia tonight, whether you're in Rwanda tonight, whether you're in the Democratic Republic of Congo tonight, wherever you are tonight in Africa and around the world, this is the time to settle your salvation. The Bible talks about rising crime and violence. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Our society is a violent society today. So God looked upon the earth. Indeed, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way before God. You know, when Billy Graham wrote his book called World Aflame, he gave the first chapter to his wife, Ruth. And he said, Ruth, read this. And the first chapter was describing these signs of the times that I'm talking about. And Ruth read it. And she went back to Billy. He was still in his study. And she said, Billy, if Jesus does not come soon, he's going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Because as I read that first chapter, the society we're living in on a global scale is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. We are living, my brother, my sister, on the knife edge of eternity. The Bible predicts there'll be economic uncertainty. James chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. Come now, rich men, and howl for the miseries that will be coming upon you. For your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded. Then the corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Now notice this. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Heap treasure together. Revelation chapter 18, verse 17 says, in 1 hour, great riches come to nothing. So in our society, you have often two classes, the very, very wealthy. I thank God for people that are wealthy, that love Jesus Christ, that are using their means to spread the gospel. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. What's wrong is when wealth has you. You missed it. Nothing wrong with having wealth. It's when your money has you, when your money controls you, when you put your confidence in your money. Because the Bible predicts, in 1 hour, great riches come to nothing. The economic system of this world is going to collapse. Putting your feet on the shaky sand of money means that one day, when that whole thing collapses, you will collapse too with stress and a heartache and a heart attack. The Bible says there's the solid rock we can put our feet upon, and that's Jesus Christ. These signs are being fulfilled. False Christs and false prophets, say it with me, fulfilled. Wars and rumors of wars, say it with me, fulfilled. Cries of peace but no peace, what is it? Fulfilled. Famines, what is it? Fulfilled. Pestilences, what is it? Fulfilled. Earthquakes, fulfilled. Sexual immorality, together? Fulfilled. Homes falling apart, together? Fulfilled. Violence filling our lands? Fulfilled. Economic uncertainty? Fulfilled. But there's one final sign. One sign that Jesus says, when you see this, know that my coming is soon. And that's the gospel to the whole world. Matthew 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached where? Preached where, church? To the whole world. As a witness to all nations, then the end shall come. Revelation 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the middle of heaven. What does the angel do? Does the angel float? The angel did, through the heavens. Is that what the angel does? I saw another angel, what? Somebody help me now. I saw another angel, what? Flying in the midst of heaven. What does the angel have when he flies in the midst of heaven? The everlasting gospel. To preach where? To preach to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people. So, look, here's a fulfillment of prophecy. I stand here on this platform, and the message of Christ goes around the world. That is a fulfillment of prophecy. We are touching the farthest reaches in the jungle on radio, on internet, on Facebook, on television today. The gospel is, could this have happened 10 years ago? Could this have happened 20 years ago? Could the gospel go around the world like this 30 or 40 years ago on all these different platforms? Jesus is saying, the devil uses television, the devil uses Facebook, the devil uses YouTube, but Jesus is saying, I have one up on the devil. Because I'm going to use this media to spread the gospel around the world so every human being on the face of planet Earth can have an opportunity. You and I are living in the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven with the everlasting gospel to go all over the world. God is on the move today. Come with me to Monterrey in Mexico. I stood there in that stadium with more than 20,000 people coming and made appeals, and hundreds came forward, and the message was carried throughout Mexico. There was a man who got up in the morning in Monterrey. He had no hope. He said, there is no hope for me. He took a gun, put it to his head, said, I want to end my life, but wait a minute. I don't want in any way to blow my brains out in my living room, because my children will see all the blood. I'm going to go to a park. So he began to walk. And as he began to walk, he came to a large sign. It said, Hey, Esperanza. In Spanish, there is hope. There is hope. And he saw the sign. There is hope. Not hope for me. He kept walking. A bus went by. He saw the sign. There is hope. He said, no hope for me. He kept walking. Came to the stadium where I was having my meetings. Big billboard, there is hope. With Pastor Mark Finley. He said, I got to go into that stadium. He missed the sermon. came in and stood in the hallway. I made the appeal. And I said, there's somebody here tonight that you are about ready to end your life. You're discouraged. You can come forward. There's hope for you. He came forward. He was baptized as a faithful member today of God's remnant church. Around the world, God is moving. People are walking into the baptismal pool. They are being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are giving up habits that would keep them from being ready for the coming of Christ. Come with me to Brazil. And here in Brazil, we were holding a satellite meeting. Made an appeal. A young man accepted Christ. He had been a drug dealer. He would not turn in his response card. He kept it. That night, as he went home, he had put the response card in his pocket. He was getting ready to go into his house. Another drug dealer, whom he owned money, who he owed money to, took out his gun and shot him dead. Right there. He had made his decision in the meeting that night. In his funeral, his mother found his decision card in his coat pocket. She stood up at the funeral and she was shaking, crying like a mother, and said, "My son, my precious son accepted Christ. I can see him in heaven." And she said to the young people at that funeral, "If you have not accepted Christ, here's my son's card. Accept Jesus and make your eternal decision." I think of a young woman looking for peace in her life, looking for joy in her life, and she comes to the meetings and makes a decision to follow Jesus. This is Cuba. The Castro government invited us to come in the days of Castro, and we came and held meetings there and baptized over 500 people in Cuba, and the government officials stood next to us in that country. Pastors, 100 of them baptizing people around the world. God is moving. God is moving in Europe. God is moving in Asia. God is moving in China. In China, in our meetings in Nanjing, I was given a 10-year visa to come to China. We baptized 200 people in Nanjing, China. Around the world, God is moving powerfully. This is Africa, in the telecom stadium, where 1,000 people were baptized in one day. Blacks and whites and coloreds, as they called them there, came together because in Christ we are one family. In Christ there are no divisions with ethnicity or skin color, but in Christ we are members of the family of God. What do you say, church? In Africa. Don't I love this picture, South Africa picture. This guy was so happy when he was being baptized. He just raises his hand to come to Jesus and going down under that water, knowing Christ. Following Christ. This is Ghana. 40,000 people baptized after our meetings there. Or I think about Tanzania a few years ago when we went into that great lake and baptized there. 2,000 in one day. Jesus Christ is coming. Ukraine. You've read about the Ukraine war. Held meetings in the cultural center in Ukraine. This is a Ukrainian pastor. Doesn't this woman look like she has peace? Doesn't it look like she has tremendous joy in her face? When you walk into that baptismal pool, God gives you this great joy. We are living on the knife edge of eternity. How many of you want to say tonight by standing, "Oh Jesus, I want to be ready when you come"? Wherever you are, watching on television, watching on YouTube, watching in a little village, watching in your home, you want to say, "Jesus, I want to be ready when you come." Tonight I have a special appeal for you. Now if you're watching online, there'll be a QR code that they're going to put up right now online. And you can just scan that QR code and it'll give you the decision card. You can fill it out that you want to be ready for the coming of Christ, that you want to be baptized. We are getting scores of people who are checking to be baptized online. Wherever you are tonight, when I make the appeal, I want you to come to the screen, wherever you are. If you're in a little home, I want you to come there. Tonight, two appeals. Number one, there is somebody here that is a church member. There's somebody online that's a church member. You do not feel you're ready for the coming of Christ. You want to be ready. But you feel that if you died, you wouldn't be ready. But tonight, you want to settle it with Jesus. You're just going to come. Stand here. Just face me tonight. Just come and stand here because I'm going to pray over you. If you feel, you know, Pastor, I just haven't been ready. Maybe there's somebody here that has a habit in their life
and you know that you've wanted to give up that habit, and you're going to come and say, God, I'm giving that habit to you tonight. I can't not be ready. Husband, your wife doesn't want to be there without you. Wife, your husband doesn't want to be there without you. Children, your parents don't want to be there without you. If there's anything holding you back from being ready for the coming of Christ, I want you to come and stand right here. If there's a habit in your life, come just now. If you've never been baptized and you want to follow Jesus, come. If you've been baptized and drifted away, come. Wherever you are tonight, just come to the screen. Pastor, help me. Pastor David, make the appeal in Swahili. And come and let's sing. And as they come, wherever you are, you just come. When you come, Jesus says, him that comes I'll in no wise cast out. He's not going to cast you out. Give him that. Talk to Jesus. Just come and talk to him. If you don't feel you're ready, just come. Talk to Jesus. If you want to be baptized, just come. Wherever you are, come to the screen. And just come, just now.
Kama unahitaji kutoa maisha yako kwa Yesu. Inawezekana unajisikia Yesu akija leo, mimi siwezi kwenda mbinguni. Unasikia ndani ya moyo wako kabisa kuna kitu kinakwambia Yesu akitokea sasa hivi wewe huwezi kwenda kwa sababu ya hali unaoisikia ndani yako. Njoo hapa mbele, kuna ombi maalum kwa ajili yako. Njoo moja kwa moja usimame hapa mbele ambao unasema, mchungaji, kwa kweli Yesu akitokea leo sijui kama ninakwenda, lakini nahitaji niweke maisha yangu na Yesu sasa hivi. Sogea hapa mbele, kuna ombi maalum kwa ajili yako. Na usichukue muda mrefu, fanya haraka uje hapa mbele, maana wito huu ni kwa ajili yako usiku wa leo. Uje hapa mbele sasa hivi kwa maombi haya maalum. Ambao unasema nahitaji kutengeneza maisha yangu upya na Yesu. Huu ni wito wa kwanza. Ni wito wa kwanza, unasema nahitaji kutengeneza maisha yangu na Yesu usiku wa leo. Akitokea niwe tayari kwenda. Njoo hapa mbele, kuna maombi maalum kwa ajili yako. Sogea. Njoo. Wale mnaofuatilia kwa njia ya television popote ulipo, tafadhali sana unaweza ukasogea pale wito unapoitwa, ukaja moja kwa moja pale kwa ajili ya maombi haya maalum. Ni maombi maalum haya kwa ajili yako. Usichelewe, fanya haraka. Unasema nahitaji nguvu mpya safari ya mbinguni, nahitaji nguvu mpya. Yesu anakuja. Dalili zote zinaonyesha Yesu anakuja. Njoo, fanya haraka mahali ulipo. Yesu anakuja hivi karibuni. Je, akitokea sasa maisha yako? Sogea hapa mbele haraka. Elewe. Huu ni wito wa kwanza. Fanya haraka, usielewe. Ni kwa ajili yako. Hiyo sauti inayokuambia ubaki sio ya Mungu, ni shetani huyo. Ikatae. Sogea hapa mbele haraka sana. Kuna ombi maalum. Usipoteze muda. Sogea. Kimbia haraka sana. Shetani hataki utakapo na Yesu. Sogea haraka sana. Popote ulipo, sogea. Wito maalum kwa ajili yako. Kundi la kwanza ni kutengeneza maisha yako na Yesu. Hili limelenga wale wa Kristo ambao wamekuwepo ndani ya kanisa lakini maisha hayajakaa sawa. Sogea. Usichelewe. Sema nahitaji kutengeneza maisha yangu na Yesu. Sogea. Kundi la pili ni wale ambao wanasema, katika mikutano hii nahitaji kubatizwa. Na wewe sogea, ujiunge na wenzako. Sogea. Unasema niko tayari kubatizwa. Sogea. Njoo haraka sana. Najua huu ni wakati ambapo shetani hataki kukuachia. Usikubali hiyo sauti ya shetani. Usikubali. Tembea. Njoo hapa haraka sana. Shinda hiyo sauti inayokubakisha. Ishinde. Kimbia haraka. Wala usitembee, kimbia. Adui anataka akushikilie. Njoo. Na tuna kadi ziko hapa. Kuna kadi ziko hapa, wale ambao wanatoa hizi kadi mahala fulani. Basi watu waliojitoa waanze kupokea kadi zao sasa. Kuna kadi ziko hapa, pokea kadi hii itakusaidia. Pokea hii kadi. Bado kuna mtu ambaye uko mahala fulani, Roho Mtakatifu anakuita, unasita. Sogea, usichelewe, kimbia haraka sana. Hii sauti huenda ni ya mwisho kwenye masikio yako. Sogea. Kuna kadi nyingine inapatikana kwa njia ya mtandao, QR code iko hapo kwenye television yako. Scan hiyo QR code, utapata hii kadi. Na hii kadi ni nzuri sana, ina maelezo ya kutosha. Ukiangalia hapo utaandika jina lako, utaandika namba yako ya simu na utatiki eneo ambalo unahitaji. Kama ni kubatizwa utatiki. Kama ni kwa ajili ya mafundisho zaidi utatiki hapo. Na kuna watu watakupigia simu kwa ajili ya maelekezo. Lakini pia nyuma ya kadi unaweza ukaandika maombi yako. Unaweza ukaandika maombi yako. Kumbe hii ni kadi ya maombi pia. Ningetamani kila mmoja aweze kupata kadi hii. Hii ni kadi ya maombi pia. Tutafanya maombi kwa ajili yako. Tutafanya maombi kwa ajili yako. Kuna mtu bado Roho Mtakatifu anakuita. Sogea hapa mbele. Sogea hapa mbele. Sogea hapa mbele. Kabla mchungaji hajaomba, sogea hapa mbele. Muda si mrefu ninamkabidhi aweze kuomba sasa. Kadi hii hakikisha unayo. Je, kuna mtu ambaye anahitaji kadi? Uenda huko mbali kule unasema na mimi nahitaji hii kadi. Nyosha tu mkono tukuone. Inawezekana unahitaji kadi hii pia. Lakini huko ni kadi ya maombi pia. Njoo uchukue kadi yako. Njoo tu uchukue kadi yako. Njoo. Nyosha mkono mahali fulani unasema na mimi nahitaji kadi. Sogea hapa mbele. Sogea. Sogea. Tunakaribia kuomba sasa. Tunakaribia kuomba sasa. Fanya haraka. Kuna mtu anahitaji kadi, huyo hapa anakuja. Naomba muhudumie.
We thank God for those of you that have come. There's still some coming. Come my brother. Come. God speaks in the quietness. If there's something between you and Jesus, you come. If there's something to surrender, you come. Those of you online, all over Africa, tonight hundreds and hundreds of people have come. They've come to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, His arms are wide open for us. We're going to pray tonight. Father in heaven, You know each one who has come by name. You know their background. You know how precious each one is to you. And you long to save them in your kingdom. They have come as an expression of their faith and commitment in Christ. And Father, I just pray that you'd hold them in your arms. May they have the sense of quietly hearing the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. As they come, some have come to lay down habits. Lord, as right now in their mind, they confess those habits to you, I pray that you would give them strength and victory. I claim that victory for them through Jesus Christ. Others have come because they want to long to be baptized. They want to walk through the water with the thousands of brothers and sisters around the world. We thank you for that. Some have drifted away and they want to be rebaptized. Father, I pray that you would be with them. And Lord, tonight, we thank you that when Jesus comes, not one of us need be lost. That when Jesus comes, He's coming to take us home. We long for that heavenly home. Keep us, Father, faithful to the day that you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those of you that have come forward, I want to be sure that you each have a pencil. Ushers, do you have some pencils or pens? Because there are some that may not have them. You may be seated. For those of you watching via satellite, for those of you watching via satellite or YouTube, our pastors will talk to you about your decision, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night when I speak about the power of Christ in your life.
Nane, kesho saa nane na nusu mpaka saa tisa kutakuwa na darasa maalum kwa ajili ya wale ambao jiandaa na ubatizo hapa kanisani. Kwa hiyo usikose. Hapo kuna hema liko hapo nje, saa nane na nusu mpaka saa tisa na nusu kesho. Usikose.
My home is found in Jesus, on the road of faith.
Yes, hope for Africa.